God knows we need victories in our life. Now, even the Apostle Paul, beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, put on a ship, sent as a prisoner to Rome, and even Paul had victories in his life. Now, I got to really be careful because I don't want you to misunderstand. I'll say it and then I'll explain it. If you're not having victories in your life, something is the matter. Now, let me talk to you about Job for just a second. It was a long time before Job saw victory. But the Bible says that happier are those that endure, and it talks about Job as an example of patience. You may have to wait quite a long time for God to give you the victory, but as long as you're waiting, just keep on waiting on God and trusting Him.
Amen? You say, Pastor, I've been waiting for victory for years. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God can trust you to endure something very difficult. But if you're not seeing victory in your life, if you're not seeing any victory at all, if it's just one defeat after another and you've lost sight of God, please take care of that. And please don't let the devil win. So tonight I was coming into church and just stepping away from my car and getting situated and trying to carry five things with two hands like we always do. And I heard not too far away someone singing. I don't know if they remember or not. They're here. And I thought, wow, that's just exactly what we're going to talk about tonight, is someone singing. Why do we sing? We sing because we're discouraged and, oh, everything's terrible and there's no hope. And I guess I'll just sing a happy song. No. You ever listen to little children when they sing? They sing when they're happy, don't they? And I was with Alan Crosno on Saturday, and we were walking across a parking lot. Alan's a very outgoing fellow, if you ever spend time with him. And he just started singing, and it was a gospel song. And I'm not used to that. That's just not the way God built me. I love to sing in church, and I can get excited about it there, but I will not break into song in a parking lot in most cases. But we sing when we're happy, amen? Are you happy?
Amen.
Talked about that earlier this week. We ought to be happy. When God gives victory, that's when we can be happy. Now, I got to be careful too, because you got to remember something. It's not about us. It's about God. It's not, oh, I need God to give me all these blessings so I can live my life the way I want. No, what we need is we need to live our life the way God wants. And then the blessings bring glory to Him and promote His cause. And then that's when we see great victory. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Reaping is a victory. Amen? So we're going to look at why sing. And we're looking at the Song of Moses. I cannot read the entire passage all at once for the sake of time. But let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Now read about the first half of it. And then we'll try to finish it off as we go through the passage tonight. If Exodus chapter 15, I'm going to read down to about verse 13, but we'll go ahead and go down through verse 21 here in a minute. Anyway, Exodus 15, 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou settest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's a joy to come into your house, to listen to your word, to sing the hymns of the faith, to pray, to be around your people, to ponder the things you've done for us and the things you're going to do, to increase our faith, to gain a greater trust in you. Lord, in your house, as we assemble here, we can leave our cares and our burdens and our worries outside, and we can just focus on you. We don't have to think about trials. We don't have to think about problems. We can just look at the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, and I pray you do that tonight. Lord, we don't deserve it, but you love us, and you sent your Son to die and pay for our sins, and you've given us the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And I pray tonight that you would take this time and use it to bless your people, to edify your people, to be an encouragement to us, to let us hear from you, to let us know that you've met with us. Lord, tonight we don't think of the obstacles, we don't think of the trials, we think of the victory that we've seen, the victory we're going to see, the ultimate victory that one day we will experience when we step into eternity and this world is destroyed with the fervent heat and all that's in it. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd be a blessing to some folks that couldn't be with us tonight for health reasons and other problems. God, please care for them. Lord, whatever it might be that kept someone away tonight, I pray that you would work in their heart, bless them, comfort them, bring them back to us safely. Lord, we need for you to work in the lives of your people. Without you, we can do nothing, and we desire that you would do that work that we can't do. And Lord, I pray you'd just protect those folks tonight. Pray that you'd bless each of us as we come here to join around the Word of God and have your will in our service. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to embarrass her, but my daughter Stephanie sings a song, and I can't remember all the words, but I can remember the beginning of the chorus, and she sang it for us a couple of times here in the church, and it talks about that God wants to hear us sing when we have trials. And there's no doubt about that. I agree with that wholeheartedly, and it encourages my heart when I hear it. And some of the times when your heart is the heaviest, God can give you a song. David, the psalmist, mentioned in the Psalms that God gave him a song in the night when times were dark. When you and I are going through trials, God can take us through the trials. When you and I are discouraged, and when it seems like the people around us don't love the Lord and won't obey him, and it seems like people won't listen to the gospel, and it seems like our problems are bigger than we can imagine, God can get us a song in those kind of times. But don't you like to have victory? Amen. I love it when the Lord gives us great victory. I felt like one of the great victories this summer was our vacation Bible school. And in several different ways, needs being met. We were always, in a church our size, we're always looking for workers. We need for people that can step up, and it may be hard work, it may be easy work, but it's the Lord's work, whatever it is. And we don't serve the Lord for the accolades. We don't serve the Lord. We don't even serve the Lord necessarily because we're good at something. We serve the Lord because he asks us to serve him. And there are opportunities to serve, and there will be more of those opportunities. So I encourage you to take the ones that God gives you. But anyway, I like VBS because it was a success in the sense that we saw a number of souls saved. We started a bus route. We had been praying for a bus driver. God gave us one. We had been looking for opportunities to reach our neighborhoods. I think, and Brother Mendez, correct me if I'm wrong, we're making more impact in our neighborhoods right now than we have for several years. And we had today, I was sitting in my office this morning at about 9 o'clock and the phone rang. I know something about that phone number is not published just anywhere. If somebody's got that phone number, they were looking for it. Maybe the website or whatever. And I pick up the phone. I had no idea who it was going to be at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. It was a little girl's voice. And children kind of cut to the chase, right? I mean, they don't beat around the bush. It's not, good morning, how are you? It's, where's the bus? Are they going to come pick us up? She said. Well, now I got to figure out, where are you? What's your address? She had no idea. Okay. I live in a trailer court. Yep, so does everybody else, except for the apartment complex. In fact, I found out that the area she lives in, she thought it was a trailer court. I didn't, so that got me confused. And long story short, some little girl knew our church was going to come bring her to church. And she wanted to be here. Brother Mendez this morning mentioned that as he got here to church, there was a little girl sitting out there in a car with her mom waiting to come to church. I know right where she lives. I think you all got there too early, I'm guessing. It's one of your very first stops. Kenya and Kendra, and they probably weren't ready yet, and so mom brought her to church. We sat down to pray this morning, and I mentioned this as well, and when we opened our eyes, there's Angela, little seventh grade girl, sitting there quietly in the chair listening to us pray, and just happy to be here. I praise the Lord. That's victory, folks. When a soul gets saved, that's victory. There are people in this room that have been saved in the last year. That's victory. And it's interesting, by the way, as long as I'm on that subject, God offers us victory, doesn't he? You say, why don't I have victory? This is not what I had planned to preach, but I'll mention it and then we'll get to the outline here. If you're not having victory, there's two or three simple explanations. Now, don't stop listening now. Please hear what I'm about to say. If you're not seeing victory in your life, it's one of several things. Could be a situation like Job, to where God's not through with the test yet. Give God time. Could be God is waiting for you to do something. He may be waiting for you to change. He may be waiting for you to believe him. When he promised you certain things, he promised to provide or whatever, he may be waiting for you to believe him and to decide, I'm going to obey him and trust him to do what he said he would do. And in the meantime, if any of you ever, I remember this so well because I actually lived it several times, a little child is trying to tie their shoe and they have no idea how to tie a shoe. And you've tied a shoe 100,000 times and it's driving you crazy. You're watching this child fumble with this shoe. And your thought is, here, let me help you. Or let me teach you. No, I'll do it myself. Okay, go ahead. And they fumble and they fumble and they fumble. And you say again, let me help you. Let me teach you. No, I can do it. And they can't do it. And what are you going to do? You're going to wait until they fail, aren't you? And then you can say, now, are you done? Let me show you how to do this. There's nothing wrong with letting mom or dad teach you how to tie your shoes. You know, sometimes God's waiting for us to learn something, and then he'll give us the victory. Amen? I think those are the two most common explanations. It's either you need to wait until the test is finished, or you need to let God have his will in your life. And you know what? If you think you're hard-headed, trust me, God can deal with hard-headed people. Say, I'm just going to do it my way. Bless God, this is what I'm going to do. All right, keep beating your head against the wall. When you get tired of that, let God know and he'll help you. And God's a merciful and a gracious God, but he also works with us and teaches us. And it's not, we're not robots. He has given us free will. But aren't you, oh, by the way, there's a storm coming, but the God that created the storm is our God. So just ignore the alarms and what's the worst that could happen? And Lord, take us home to be with him. Amen? Not likely, but anyway, don't pay attention too much to that. And we're going to listen to the word of God tonight. So I like it when God gives victory. And there are other victories God's going to give. And God's the one that gives the victory. Amen? Now, rehearse where the Israelites have been. They were captives in Egypt. God gave them a victory by letting them out of the land. Then the Egyptians pursued them. They came to the edge of the Red Sea. And God said to them, why are you crying to me? You know where you're supposed to go. Go forward. But Lord, there's a sea in the way. Moses raises his rod and opens the waters. And they, after the night is past, where God keeps the Egyptians away from them with the pillar of cloud and of fire, then they go across the Red Sea on dry ground, and now the Egyptians try to follow them, and the Egyptians are destroyed, and that's where we pick up right now. They're on the other side. They have passed over that obstacle. God gave them victory over the obstacle. God destroyed their enemies. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, or last week, that's a picture, in one sense, of what's going to happen to us when we step into eternity. The enemy's not coming with us. The enemy will be destroyed. And those folks that refuse to believe God will be destroyed. And we'll be over there all with the Lord Jesus Christ, those that believed him. What a great victory that's going to be. But there are victories in this life as well. So I hope you're having some victory. I know if you'll do things God's way, you will have some victory. You've been praying about something. You face an obstacle. You face a trial. God can give you victory. Why are these people singing? Now, this song of Moses is an important song. The song is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. This isn't the only reference to it. I'll let you look those up instead of taking you there tonight. But look at why they're singing, and we'll just look through these verses, and I'll try to be done by about 7 so we can have a brief time of meeting and prayer tonight. Let's go back to verse 1 and begin there. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. There's so much there, but just apply that for a minute. First of all, Moses, as their leader, is singing. It gives me great joy, and other folks here that are in leadership, it gives us great joy when you have victory in your life, and we want to sing with you. But it's Moses and the people. It's not just Moses. It's not just the people. They're all singing to the Lord. God wants each one of us to understand what he's done in our lives and the victory that he can give. And it's not just a few of us. It's all of us that ought to be singing. And the song is unto the Lord because, folks, he's the one. He's the one that gives the victory. Say, Pastor, I've been trying and trying and trying, and I cannot get victory. Well, that might be part of your problem. You can't get victory, but God can. Say, Pastor, I've tried 100 different things. Have you tried the one God wanted you to try? Like trusting him, maybe? Obeying him? Doing what he said? I put a little note in the back of the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. If you're not going to do it God's way, you're not going to see victory. Say, well, Pastor, I got some more ideas. Well, okay. When you're done with your ideas and you're ready to let God work, you know, he's there. But you're not going to get victory without God. And when you do things God's way, you're going to have victory. And it's just that simple. Isn't that too easy? Is that too easy? That if we obey God and do things his way, he will give victory. This is not a feel-good message. There's some work involved there. But it makes me feel good to know God's going to give victory. And we're not on the losing side. And we don't fight a losing battle when we fight God's cause. He describes the victory, that he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And then he begins to tell why. Now, I'll give you my outline. There's a whole lot more here than what I'm going to show you, but you'll see that this does certainly fit the song. He begins with, in verse 2, the person of God, who God is. He says, now listen, this is so powerful. Please listen. He says, the Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God. There are those three words is right now that we are going to be teaching math this. I'm going to be teaching math this year. And the word is in math is an equal sign. It's the same thing. You know, A is B. A equals B. Bad illustration maybe if you don't know a lot of math. But folks, the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen? The Lord is our strength. And he says, and song. Why can you have a song? Because of the Lord. The Lord is our salvation. He is our God. It's the person of the Lord that causes us to sing. You say, Pastor, I don't see a lot to sing about. Sing about God. Amen? I expected more amens there. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't say that well enough. He's the one we sing about. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, you know what? The world is not something to sing about. The world's got a song. Doesn't the world have a song? And thank you. And the world has a song. It is not God's song. They're not singing about God. You go home tonight, you turn the radio on, listen to a non-Christian station, or for that matter, a bunch of the Christian stations. They're not singing about God. They're singing about themselves. They're singing about their feelings. They're singing about their lust. They're singing about, they're not singing about the Lord. But we have a song that comes from our God. He's our song. He's the reason we can sing. And folks, that's not just in church, right? I mean, if the Lord's just your song from 10 until noon on Sunday and 6 until 7 on Sunday and from 7 until 8 on Wednesday, if that's the only time he's your song, something's bad wrong. He's our song all the time. The Lord, he says, that the person of the Lord is what gives us that song. That's why we sing. And then he describes the Lord in great detail. He does make a statement here I want to point out in verse 2. He says, I will prepare him an habitation. Where should the Lord live? In our heart. In our life. He should abide with us. We should abide in him is the best way to say that. And that word abide means that's where you live. The habitation is the Lord. He says, I will prepare him an habitation. A little too zealous there, Titus. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You know, verse 3, the Lord fights our battles. God knows how to fight a battle really well. I used to be in the army, and they would send you, if you got far enough along in the army, they would send you what they call to command, CGSC, Command General Staff College. And they would send these fellows off literally to a school, I think it was a two years long, and teach them how to fight a battle as a general and how to control armies and all the things they needed to know to win a victory. Clearly, you ought to thank God for what he's done in our nation to provide us with a successful military. Some nations don't have that. God's blessed us, and it's God that's given our nation the victory, by the way, and it's a fearful thing. If our nation turns away from God, we might not see so much victory. But anyway, you know, God never had to go to college to learn how to fight a battle. He knows how to fight the battle. You and I may need to go and learn some things, but I'm glad he's the one in charge. And when he tells you to fight a battle a certain way, that's the way you fight it. I'll tell you, for example, I know something about fighting for the Lord. We only have one weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Say, Pastor, if we had a rock band, we'd have a bigger group of people here. I don't know about any of that, except that's not the way God wants us to bring people here. It's not the entertainment that gets people in church. It is the Word of God that they ought to come to church for. Amen? They can get entertained in the world. They can go to any bar or whatever and be entertained, but they need to come to church and hear the Word of God. That's the important thing. He knows how to fight the battle. He's a man of war. He describes the victory in verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots were cast into the sea. The depths covered them in verse 5. Back to the person of God in verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Look who's getting the credit. God's getting the credit. What did you do this week for which God got the credit? Yesterday, I was taking this bus test, and I hope this is interesting to you. It's fascinating to me. How many times in my life am I going to parallel park a bus? Zero. But you got to parallel park that bus to pass this test. Now, I have parallel parked that bus in practice several times. Mark Hall and I sat out here in the parking lot one day and played with it for a long time, and I've already passed the test in another bus one time. So I got there yesterday, and I took the parallel parking test, and the first time I tried, I hit the cones. And I thought, I just failed. And the guy said, no, try again. Okay. So I got back out and tried again. I hit the cones again. Well, I'm thinking, he's not going to give me infinite number of tries. I better get this right here pretty quick. I'm thinking I'm running out of chances. So I pull back out, and he says this to me. He says, I can't tell you what you're doing wrong. Okay, well, I'm doing something wrong. And Lord, I sure would like to pass this test. If you don't want me to, that's fine. And I was praying to beat the band. Lord, just give me some wisdom here. I don't know what to do. And so I pulled back out, and I tried a little something, and what I did was irrelevant. But anyway, I got the bus about halfway in. They let you get out and look. And so I got out of the bus and I looked all around and I had a mile. I had plenty of room. Got back in the bus, whipped it in, boom, I was there, passed the test. I will tell you to this day, if you brought the bus out right now, put me in the parking lot, put the cones out there, I'm not sure I could do it again. But can God do things like that?
Amen.
You say, that's Pastor, that's a small thing. It sure is. Let's try this one. You go and you witness to somebody. You know why they get saved? Because God gives the victory. Amen? Let's read this verse again. Make sure you understand what I'm trying to tell you. He says that it's God's right hand that's become glorious in power. It's His right hand that dashed the pieces in the enemy in pieces. If Vision Baptist Church has victory, it'll be God's right hand that does it. If we win victory any other way, it's not valid because God doesn't get the glory. Okay, back to where I started. What did you do in your life this week for which God got the glory? And then can I ask you to do something? Give Him the glory. You're at work and you got a problem and you pray and God gives you the wisdom to solve that problem or He solves it for you. And your boss says, how'd you do that? Well, I'm just a really sharp guy. No, just tell him. I prayed and God gave me some wisdom. It'll drive them crazy. They can't understand that. They wouldn't comprehend the fact that you and I would trust God with everything in our life. Now, if you go through your life all week, pray, God, please don't do this. If you go through your life all week and all the way through your life all week, it's just you doing it. You don't depend on God. Where's the glory for God in that? And folks, you're not going to see victory that way. Ecclesiastes, I was going to preach on this the other day in devotions, I didn't do it, but it says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do it with all thy might, as unto the Lord. There's in the grave, you can't serve God, you can only serve Him now. And the point is, whatever God shows you to do, you do it in His strength. And again, the person of God is what he's singing about. He just keeps describing this in verse 7. In verse says, the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them. Thou settest forth thy wrath. The blast of, verse 8, thy nostrils were gathered together. So it's that person of God that he's singing about. And we ought to be able to sing about the person of God regardless of the circumstances. But after you've had victory, it's even easier. And I pray for some of you that God might give you those kind of victories in soon days. Look at verse 9. I'll go a little faster here, but we'll see what we can do with this. The person of God, something to sing about. The prevention or the protection, we'll use either one of those words, is just fine, is something to sing about. And look at verse 9. The enemy said. Now, the enemy is the same people that said, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Why should I let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Get out of my sight. And what was that theme in Exodus? Please don't forget this. If you live to be 100, and I've been in heaven for a long time, and somebody asks you, what did Pastor Schaefer teach you about Exodus? Please tell them that I taught you that 10 times in this book, God said, I'm doing this so that they will know that I am the Lord. In our life, people should be able to look at us and say, because of what I see, I can tell who the Lord is. He did this so that they would know He was the Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But let's show them before it's too late. So the thought here in verse 9, the enemy said, the enemy doesn't know the Lord. The enemy had plans. Oh, they're going to pursue. They're going to overtake. They're going to divide the spoil. Their lust is going to be satisfied. But this is so obvious. They're going to draw their sword. They're going to destroy. That's the enemy's plan. How much of that came to pass? How successful were they? How much victory did they have? You and I live. We're surrounded by people. They work with us. They live next to us. They may be even family members. And they have their plans. And the world is telling them, oh, you need to think highly of yourself, and you need to have ambition, and you need to go far, and you need to work hard. And there's nothing wrong with working hard, but why are you doing it? So that your plans can come to pass? Pastor, I want to be, a young lady told me one time, this breaks my heart to think of what happened in the end. She was a teacher's aide in our school. And she told me what she wanted to be, and I thought to myself, that's not at all what God wants you to be. I knew because it was unscriptural. And she wound up doing nothing for the Lord. In fact, she wound up divorced and, and not going to church and partying and drinking and doing all sorts of crazy things. When your plans aren't God's plans, not much to hope for. The enemy had plans, and the enemy had plans to destroy God's people. But folks, God's a God that protects us. Amen. I don't know if you have any enemies right now, except I know one, the devil. And I know that the devil's got some folks working for him, and they're going to be your enemies from time to time. And it may even be some people that you're close to that make themselves your enemies. Sometimes that happens. It doesn't matter. The enemy had plans, but all God's got to do is blow the wind a little bit. In verse 10, this protection we're talking about, thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. You know, for all the devices the enemy's got, just a little puff from God, and it's all for naught. Aren't you glad that's the God that you serve? Aren't you glad that's the God whose side you're on? I hope that's the God whose side you're on. His prevention, his protection. He stretched out his hand, the earth swallowed them in verse 12. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. And again, there's so many pictures here of salvation that we really aren't looking at tonight. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. All right, I'm going to kind of race through. It's the last part of this in just a few minutes. There are two more things I want to show you. It's not just his person that's a cause for song or his protection that's a cause for song. But look at verse 14. He says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina, which is Palestine, the land, the promised land they're going to. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. What's he talking about there? Do you remember when Israel got to the city of Jericho? And Rahab said, you know, we've heard what God's done for you. That was over 40, almost, well, right at 40 years after this happened. 40 years later, all the people still knew, hey, those are the folks God fights for. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that the reason that we have anything to offer is because folks know that we're on the Lord's side? You know, some people have built some big, they call them churches. I read one of the most foolish and wicked things on the news the other day. There's some group in California, and they are opposed to the Word of God. They didn't say that, but what they're in favor of is the things that God hates. And they're going to build a, they're calling themselves a church. They're going to build a brewery and use the money that they get from the brewery to pay for some cause. So, oh, wow, that's a great thing, Pastor. That's not the way God works. That's not God's plan. Someone's going to say, well, these people are really good at brewing beer and they did great things with that money. They must be good people. That's nothing to do with the Word of God, with the work of God. Folks, the reason people ought to see anything special is because of who our God is. And he points out here the victories that God's given you. Now, when you have one victory in your life, it gives you the opportunity to go forward and see others. And the word I'm looking at here, for the sake of alliteration, is the word popularity. In other words, because, we've talked about this before, because of what God has done in your life, people ought to hear. Did God do something? Did God give you the victory just so you could savor that and you could enjoy it all to yourself? Is that why he gave you the victory? No. He gave you that victory so that you could tell others how great he is. And then they could see what kind of God you've got. My wife and I, when we got married, 86, 85, okay, that's close, okay, 85, that's a long time ago. I've been sleeping since then. Got married back in 85, and her family was by and large was not Christian at all. It's kind of fun to see all the kids, they get married and they go off on their own, they do their thing. 30 years later, 85, 30 some odd years later, yeah, 33 years later, 85, 6, 7, 33 years later, the people can't help but look and say, you know, God took good care of those folks. And he ought to get the glory, amen? God, we have not gotten divorced. We had some trials in our family, but our children have all grown up and become good citizens. And three of the four of them right now are a blessing to the Lord, and the other one we're working on. But all in all, God's been very good to us. No drug addicts in the bunch. No one that's walked away from the Word of God. And not that if that's ever happened to you, God can bring them back. Amen. But my point is this. When people look at your life, they ought to be able to see what God did. And when you do things God's way, they can. And there are people in our church, many of you, that have that story to tell. It's not just victory so that we can savor it. It's victory so other people can see what God can do. And he should be popular because of what he does in our life. It's the popularity there. And then finally, the last point is, we sing, give you the 4 points, because of his person, his protection, for his popularity, and because of what he has prepared. And here's the thought. If you think you've seen the goodness of God, you have, but as the old fellow in the South said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see what he's prepared for you. That's something to sing about. Let's read this just a little bit. It says in verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Well, there's so much imagery there. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Let me just tell you plainly, verse 17 and 18, it's prophecy. It's prophecy. It's a double reference prophecy. The first reference is to God bringing Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land. The second prophecy is God bringing you and I into eternity. Amen? And in other words, there's a day when he's going to reign forever and ever. We're going to be his people. He's going to be our God. And we're going to be with him in a place that is beyond belief. It is so wonderful. And then in verse 19, I'll just finish these last three verses. The horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. The Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. The children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea, rehearsing the victory again. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And that's the conclusion. What are we singing about? Why would we come to church and sing? Well, I sing because it makes me feel good. No, I do feel good when I sing. But we sing because of our God. Amen? Let's bow and just ask God to let us apply these things to our lives.